May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all have spots and wrinkles, Martin Luther told us today. We all have spots and wrinkles. So I ask you, where are yours? Where are your spots and your wrinkles? I see some of you giggling. We don't like to admit that we have spots or wrinkles. Do you maybe have age spots? Wrinkles in your brow? A few lines and creases that might not have existed a couple of years ago? Are there wrinkles in your clothing this morning? Because ironing takes a lot of effort. Or because you just can't get the clothes out of the dryer and folded and into the drawers before they get creased. Yes, Kelly, that is my problem too. I cannot get them out of the dryer and folded fast enough. Do you have spots of coffee or maybe crumbs from breakfast on your shirt this morning? Another meal on the run or maybe another spill? The spots and wrinkles that Luther was talking about today are not just in our clothes or on our skin, though they may be just as common as those kinds of spots and wrinkles. These spots and wrinkles are a part of us. They are a part of who we are, a part of what it means to be human. These spots and wrinkles are what we call sin. The little and sometimes large mistakes and mess-ups that we know every day. Do you ever do things or say things, maybe act harsher or harder than you would have even a few years ago? Are there experiences in this world that have left your soul with wrinkles? Are there things that you just can't keep yourself from doing, even when you know it's wrong, when it's not good for you, it's not good for someone else? Some habit or pieces of gossip or reaction that you just can't keep yourself from, like a stain that you can't get out of that favorite shirt? Do you have spots from life, from some disappointment or dissatisfaction that's left you with a mark? When we're honest with ourselves, we know that Martin Luther has hit on something here, that he said something right, because all of us truly have spots and wrinkles. Our Bible stories for today are filled with examples of people who have spots and wrinkles. Our first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel, the whole story of Ezekiel, kind of portrays a love triangle between God and the prophet Ezekiel and the people of Israel. God desperately loves these people that she has chosen, but they have a way of wandering away from God. God must use the prophet then as a mouthpiece to share his love with the people and bring them back. And at this time, the people, like throughout much of our Old Testament, they're screwing it up. They aren't living as they're supposed to. So through the words of the prophet, God gives the people two possibilities. One, the people repent and God erases their sin. Two, the people continue in their sinfulness and are destroyed. The whole passage feels very judgy, very sinnery to me, at least, when I read it, and it is. But the judgment is only front and center because for some reason that is vastly frustrating to both God and the prophet, the people seem hell-bent on choosing option number two, continued sinfulness and ultimate destruction. It's as if Ezekiel is speaking to the prophet, kind of like their kids, kind of talking to them about their options. Okay, you can do this, but if you do, these bad things are going to happen. Now, do you still really want to do this? And they do. Because the sin is a part of who they are. Bring on the bad stuff, they might as well cry. In the gospel reading today, Jesus acknowledges the spots and wrinkles that are an inherent part of being a Christian community together. He outlines a format for dealing with conflict in the early church, where a situation where one member of that community has messed up and offended someone, and they need to talk it out. They need to listen, as I said with the kids. It's a format where the believers slowly widen those circles of accountability until the unrepentant sinner repents and turns away from his or her sinful behavior. Here, too, we see two possibilities. One, repent and find restoration within the community. Two, continue in your sin and find yourself treated like a tax collector and a Gentile. Here again, we see an escalating chain of responses to someone who is determined to choose option number two, sin and destruction, or in this case, sin and expulsion from the community. These stories both show us how human beings, even when the consequences are all nice and neatly laid out for us, we are hell-bent on doing what is not good for us or those around us. We are hell-bent on choosing sin. In my family, there's this sort of legendary story about my older cousin that gets repeated over and over. I'm sure you have stories like this in your family. I think my mom tells me it every time I see her. Well, in this story, my cousin is a little kid, 3, maybe 4 years old, and she is determined to get another helping of ice cream before bed. So she's begging my aunt for more ice cream. She wants more ice cream, please. And her mom, my aunt, turns to her and says, "No, you'll get a bellyache." And my cousin responds, "But I want a bellyache. But I want a bellyache." Isn't that how we live? We want that bellyache, man. Even given options that are better for us, options that'll make us feel better, we tend to choose the bellyache. And what our readings today perhaps uniquely reveal to us is that those of us who are actually within the community of believers, those of us who identify as followers of Jesus, those of us who are in the church, we are especially prone to wanting that bellyache, to choosing death over life, what's bad for us over what's good. In short, the church is full of people with spots and wrinkles. That's tough because we don't really like spots and wrinkles. Just walk down the beauty product aisle in any store, right? And you'll see it. Wrinkle remover cream, spot reducer lotion, anti-aging serum. There are dozens of diets you can try, of course, to reduce all these things. Just eat tomatoes and berries, or salmon and nuts, or make sure to drink green tea every day. For clothing, I actually have a bottle in my closet of something called Downy Wrinkle Remover, which is for those of us in too much of a hurry to do the ironing. You just spray your outfit and let it dry and go. I have a Tide pen in my purse at all times for those last-minute stains that I'm so prone to getting. And, of course, there's software that helps you remove spots and wrinkles from photographs. And we all know that people will even go to great surgical lengths to have spots and wrinkles removed. Not for medical reasons, but just because we don't like how they look. Spots and wrinkles are things we try to get rid of, reduce, remove. None of us likes to admit that we're vulnerable to getting spots and wrinkles. But to live with spots and wrinkles in our church, to acknowledge that each and every one of us gathered here today has our own spots and wrinkles that show, to live together like that, I think, is church in its highest form. Church is the place where we should be able to come to honestly reveal our spots and our wrinkles, where we come to admit our struggles and know that we will continue to be loved, where we come to confess that we are sinners, that we mess up, that we are not perfect. People often avoid the church because they think that Christians are perfect people somehow, or at least that we think we are perfect people. But a Christian at their best is someone who can admit their worst, Church is a place where we can come and honestly share our spots and wrinkles. Because as Christians, we know that contrary to what the world would tell us, our spots and our wrinkles are not something to be hidden. They're not something to be reduced or removed. Our spots and our wrinkles are, in fact, good news. Here's why. Not only are you a sinner with spots and wrinkles, you can be a saint with spots and wrinkles. You are a saint with spots and wrinkles. In fact, I am not sure it is possible to become a saint unless you have spots and wrinkles. We can only be made saints by Jesus' work, not by our own. So if we have no spots and no wrinkles, how will Jesus forgive us? How will the great physician heal us? How will we be washed clean? If we can already, by our own will, make our lives perfect and correct all our mistakes, what do we need God for? If we are perfect, why would we want God as a part of our lives? It is in acknowledging the spots and the wrinkles, the sins and the mess-ups and the wrongdoing, that we are then able to turn to God in humility and be made saints. As Martin Luther said for us in that second reading, do not despair if you realize you screwed up. This is a new opportunity. This is a new chance for the love and grace of God to abound. The sinfulness of the people of Israel in our book of Ezekiel, or the conflict in that early Christian community, those are actually fantastic, liberating opportunities for the people to admit their sinfulness so that God's love and grace for them can abound. As one old hymn states it, greater good because of evil, larger mercy through the fall. When we turn to God in repentance for those things we screw up daily, we are made God's beloved children all over again. We are washed in the waters of baptism all over again. We are made new and made saintly each and every day, each and every time we make that mistake, we're given another chance to return to God. No amount of purchasing fancy creams and serums, no fancy job, no charitable giving, no perfect life can catapult us into sainthood. It all depends on God's grace alone. And God's priceless grace is freely given to all of us with spots and wrinkles. So this week, I commend you. Show off your spots and your wrinkles, people. Go a day without that special moisturizer cream, or when you get a stain on your shirt, wear it proudly. Wear it proudly as a sign. Yes, Alona, wear it proudly as a sign of the love and the forgiveness of God that you receive. And may we together learn how to live as a church that shares its spots and its wrinkles. Thanks be to God. Amen.